teaching, what we call religious science or science of mind. I was remembering this is my ninth year of doing it, and my teacher Kennedy did it 20 years before that, of which I heard many of them. So there's a lot of history here. It's based on the teaching of Dr. Ernest Holmes, of course. And the first week, we talked about the importance of having a greater idea of what God is. We talked about why it's so important for us to feel this power within us, not as a person or some being in some far-off place, but as a presence, as an intelligent and loving power that's always offering the very best of itself to its creation all the time. And then last week, in week two, we talked about how we need to see ourselves in a different way, not as helpless victims of a world that we can't understand, but as an extremely important part of a creative and spiritual process that works through us and as us, creating every single aspect of this thing that we call our life. In other words, we talked about how our mind and our heart are the way this power works through us. So the way we think and the way we feel determines the kind of a life that we end up living. Now this week we're going to discuss part three of the introduction to what we call our textbook, The Science of Mind, the chapter called What It Does, and the it we're talking about once again is God. So I've titled this talk Seeing God in the World, because that's what we're doing. So the first week we talked about seeing God in a greater way, the second week was seeing ourselves in a greater way, connected to God, and now we're talking about the world, which is what we create when we are using the spirituality within us. And next week, we'll talk about how all of these come together. You see, if this thing that we call God is a perfect intelligence, and if it is absolute power, and if it's always working through us according to the way that we think and feel, then we had better get clear about what it actually does, when it does, what it does. Because if we don't learn what this power can do and what it can't do, and yes, there are some things that this power can't do for us, then we won't be able to use it to its full potential. It'd be like having a Ferrari and using it to drive to the grocery store at 20 miles an hour. We'd have this incredible power at our disposal, but we wouldn't be using it. We'd be wasting all that power. So with that in mind, what we first have to decide for ourselves is sort of a two-part question. The first part of it is, how big of a life do we want to live? And the second part is, how big of a world do we want to live in? Now, very few people ask themselves those questions, mostly because most people believe that they don't have a choice in how big a life they live or what kind of a world they live in. They take whatever they can get, which in most cases is not very impressive. Now, in his book, near the beginning of this section, Dr. Holmes says this. He says, all invention, all art, literature, government, law, and wisdom that has come to the human race has been given to us through those who have deeply penetrated the secrets of nature and the mind of God. All of those people who took the intelligence that they have and brought forth the things that we see. Now notice, he doesn't say that these things have been given to us directly through the kindness and generosity of God. All of these marvelous things have come to the human race through those people who have learned to understand what this creative power can do in them and for them, and what it doesn't do, and how it does it. Now it's not that all these people who have brought these things to the world are different from you and I, the inventors, the scientists, the creators, the entrepreneurs, the teachers, all these different people. They have just learned to think about themselves and the world in a very different way. And as they do this, they are actually showing us a totally different level of understanding, of spiritual understanding really, that we should all want to reach. So instead of just admiring these people and saying, gee, ain't they great, and I wish I could do that, we should recognize that we should all want to accomplish wondrous things in our life and to do it with great love, great enthusiasm, and great success. Why else would we be here? I mean, if you think about it, there's not much point in being able to penetrate the secrets of nature and the mind of God if all we want to do is to try and make the best out of a bad relationship. There isn't. There isn't much point in being able to recognize our spiritual magnificence if all we want to do is make enough money to pay the rent or buy a good used car. There isn't much point in embracing a universe of infinite possibility if all we're interested in doing is being healthy enough to wake up every morning and make it to a job that we hate. There's no point in that at all. You see, we are dealing here with an unlimited power that knows everything and knows how to do anything. So what we have to ask ourselves is, why are we using this power in such a limited way? Why are we afraid to ask for what we really want if we can have anything, anything? And the answer has to be because we have not yet figured out how much God is ready, willing, and able to do for us by working through us. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, in one of Shakespeare's plays, and Shakespeare has some fabulously spiritual statements, one of them being, nothing is good or bad, but thinking makes it so, and he has many more. But one of the statements he made was, all things be ready if our mind be so. All things be ready if our mind be so. Now, that's the old English, but what he's saying is there is nothing in the world that we cannot know or do if we are mentally and spiritually ready to do whatever needs to be done to allow that thing to happen. In other words, whenever we are ready, God is already ready. You got it? So whenever we are ready, that power is already there and it's already ready for whatever we need. That's the key we need to know. You see, this passion for life that burns inside of us, this passion that we all have for doing our best, for having our best, or for being our best, that divine spark that we all feel is always ready to burst into flame. It's always ready to support us in creating whatever we want to create. That is all that spark of life does. That's all it does. The question is, are we ready to let it do what it does first? You see, if we have the presence of mind to let go of all of our doubts and our fears that we have picked up from childhood, if we have the inner strength, even when we're afraid, to listen to that still small voice that speaks within us that says, yes, 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 while all the world around us is saying no, 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 if we can move through the mental barriers that we have constructed, the ones we always seem to be putting around ourselves whenever we're near things that we're afraid of, and start to move forward anyway, if we can do that, we will be able to accomplish things in our life that will amaze us. And the wonderful thing is, there will be nothing magical or miraculous about what we do. Everything that we want to create that we don't think we can create, once we have done it and look backwards, we will see that we have created it in a perfectly normal, perfectly natural, perfectly understandable way. It happens every single day. That's why whenever we know someone or see someone who's about to do something that we don't believe can be done because we've never seen it done before, all we can think about is, how could they possibly do this? No one has ever done it. But afterwards, once the impossible happens, all we can say then was, well, that was easy. Why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I think of that? That's why Schopenhauer, the philosopher, once said, every truth passes through three stages before it is recognized. In the first, it is ridiculed. In the second, it is opposed. In the third, it is regarded as self-evident. So the first thing we do is we go, that's stupid. The second thing we go, I'm not going to touch it. The third thing we go, why didn't I do that? That's what we do. So what that means to us is if we can stop automatically ridiculing or arguing against all the things that we don't understand or that we don't think we can do, if we stop fighting it, we will find that a lot more interesting and exciting opportunities present themselves to us for our consideration. Of course, there are some people, I know them and so do you, who spend their whole lives, and usually it's not a very happy one, waiting for their one and only perfect opportunity. Do you know anyone like that who's waiting for their one big shot? I certainly do. They're waiting for the stars to line up right. They're waiting for their ship to come in. They're waiting for the right person to notice them and give them a break. And they wait and they wait and they wait until one day they die. they die. It's very, very sad. But what we have to realize is what we call opportunities can only show up after we have made the conscious and deliberate decision to be mentally and spiritually ready for something greater to show up. Opportunity can't knock if we don't give it a door. That's what we have to realize. You know, there's nothing spiritual about staying at home and praying for a lucky break. And a lot of people do that. People who succeed in this world, and by that I mean people who are living a life that they love no matter what they're doing, because that's the only kind of success that counts. People who succeed do not succeed just because they are lucky or they had the breaks or because someone special helped them out or they've got something no one else has. People who are ready when opportunity knocks are not where they are by coincidence. They are there by right of consciousness. They are there by right of consciousness. They just happen to be there when good things happen because they are always ready for good things to happen. They don't sit around projecting the worst case scenario, as a lot of the world does. I said in class the other day, have you ever heard anybody say, let me give you a best case scenario? Never have. It's always the worst. You know, try that one with some friends. They'll look at you weird, I promise. Successful people know, they know this inherently, that the universe is always giving them opportunities. That's what the universe does. In fact, that's all it does. Dr. King knew this. That's how he was able to accomplish what he was able to accomplish. He knew there was a greater truth, and he continued moving forward, even though all the forces around him were saying no, no, no. Gandhi knew this. Bill Gates, Donald Trump, run through your list of people who are successful in some part of their life. And while these individuals are busy enjoying their success and expanding upon it, they don't get too caught up in the fact that the rest of the world is pushing away the same opportunities that they're taking advantage of. And the world is pushing these things away for all sorts of reasons that sound a lot like excuses. It is. I've come to believe that there are a lot more people who are afraid of success than there are people who are afraid of failure. I think that's true. And the reason I say this is because there's a lot more failures than successes. There are. I've noticed that a lot of people who are very comfortable with failure are comfortable with it because it's so dramatic and they love the drama of their life going down in flames. At least they have something to talk about with different people, you know. They've got all sorts of colorful reasons about why they failed and what kind of struggles they went through. And they don't even have to change their life very much if they fail because they've based their entire life on failing. And it's a lot easier for them to explain to their friends why they failed because people who are attached to failure like to hang around with other people that think the same way all the time. You know, what we often fail to remember is that we are the perfect manifestation of a power that never, ever fails. It never fails. And by that I mean this power always, 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 always gives to us, to every single one of us, exactly what we expect. Not what we need, not what we want, not what we wish we had, but what we at our deepest level expect, because that is what it does. The funny thing is, even though we are all potential successes, at least as far as God is concerned, some of us still aren't willing to accept the opportunities that show up every day. We're all perfectly capable of using this power to accomplish amazing things, but we don't listen. We try to do it all by ourselves. Or think of it this way. We've got this intelligent, scientific, invisible energy that created the entire universe. It keeps the planets from running into each other, and it has kept the sun burning for billions of years. That's the level of power we're talking about. And it can do amazing things for us, but we have to let it do what it does. We have to work with it in the way that it works with us. You see, we are an essential part of the creative process, but we are only a part. We are the part that gets things started. That's what we do. So we have to understand what our part is and understand what the rest of God's part is in that process if we want to learn to create in the best way possible. Create what? Create whatever we want. Love, money, success, happiness, peace of mind, whatever we want. We make the choice. We set this law in motion and the universe responds. That's what it does. That's the way it works. Now, this is obviously different from what we were taught when we were young, but it's actually pretty easy to understand. And here's a very simple, everyday example of what I mean. If I want to drive somewhere, I get into my car and I do my part. I put in the key, I turn it on, I put it in gear, I move the steering wheel, and I decide where I want to go. At the same time, the car does what it is designed to do, which is to provide the speed and the power and the protection to follow out what I want it to do. So we provide the intent and the direction, and the car provides the power, and working together, we both get to where we are going. I have never once arrived anywhere without my car that way, okay? We always get there at the same time because we're working together. We can't do it separately, all right? Or let's say I go into a room and it's dark and I want to bring light into the room. I have to do something specific to make it happen. Now, what I don't have to do is I don't have to pull the electricity up through the wall, stuff it in a light bulb, and spread it around the room. But what I do have to do is to turn on the switch. What I do have to do is make sure that the fuse is hooked up, that it works, all right? I have to set the law in motion, but then I need to get out of the way and let it do exactly what it does. Now, this is a very simple principle, but the same principle applies if I want to create prosperity in my life, if I want to create love, health, or any of those other tangible experiences. The way to enjoy this power, because remember, we are the way it works, the way for me to enjoy it is to become calm and quiet when I want to get frantic and run all over the place. Instead, if I can get physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually quiet at every level, and then get a clear image in consciousness of the thing that I desire and what I am ready to create, then I allow the law to work. And when we open ourselves to this power and we give thanks for it, it does what it does. That's how we end up living a life that is in harmony with the natural spiritual laws of the universe. But instead, here's what we do. Even though we have this infinite intelligence completely at our disposal, we try to tell it exactly how to do what we want done, and then we complain about the results. That's what we do. In other words, we don't let God do what it does so much better than we do. We have to remember that a lot of the solutions that we come up with when we are trying to solve our own or the world's problems using what the world tells us is possible, or our own willpower or intellect or all those other things we use, those kinds of solutions usually come out of our past experience or from the world's past experience. And more often than not, they are solutions that have been tried before again and again and again that didn't work then, and they're not going to work now. That's why things end up so often looking like they do, broken, confused, or out of control. Because the same old way of thinking, the same way of working against the laws, like swimming upstream, is always going to produce the same old result. It only can do that. Now, Dr. Holmes says in the book, the spirit can give us only what we can take. It can tell us only what we can understand. You know, sometimes I think we tend to live our life like a faucet that's only partly turned on. We put the cup under there and we just barely open it and we sit there waiting to get a drink of water and it goes drip, 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 and it takes forever. But if we just twist the faucet all the way, we open it up, our cup is filled to overflowing. Isn't that a nice spiritual metaphor? It's filled to overflowing in an instant. In an instant. Same water, same pressure, same faucet, same cup. It's just that I have opened things up a whole lot more. In the same way, opening our heart and opening our mind is what makes all the difference in what comes through in our life. Now, there's no question about it. This power has shown us that it can do marvelous things through us. It's shown us all the technology, the medicine, all of the advances that we have made in society. But these things do not happen through miracles or through divine intervention. The universal intelligence does these things through us by being a source for knowledge, by being a source for new ideas that come to those who have learned to cultivate a consciousness that's open to new ideas. That's how every invention that ever happened, every discovery that ever happened, large or small, ever came into being. Everything that we have discovered, every technological advancement that we have made, could actually have been discovered thousands of years before. The Romans could have had electricity. You know, the Jews could have, instead of schlepping out for 40 years, they could have flown out in a 747, you know. Alexander the Great could have had a Sherman tank. That would have really helped him in conquering the world. All of the materials to create these things were there. Every single one of them was there. The only thing missing was the knowledge of how to use what was already there and waiting to be used. So every new idea was always available. It just needed a consciousness that was ready for it, a consciousness that believed it was possible. It needed someone to see what was already there and to put it with other things that were already there in a brand new way. Now, the reason this is important for us to remember is because this is what God is continually doing in our life too. If we have a problem, whether it's with money, or marriage, or making a living, whatever it happens to be, there is always a solution. That's the first thing we have to know. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it isn't there. We have to know this at a gut level, at a visceral level. We have to have faith that this is true, that there is an answer that exists. In fact, the perfect solution to our problem was already present at the instant the problem appeared. Isn't that an amazing idea? At the instant the problem appeared, the solution was right there along with it, and we are perfectly capable of discovering it. We just need to develop a consciousness that's more open to seeing a solution than it is to worrying about the problem. That's why Emmett Fox says, don't think about the problem, think about God. Don't think about the problem, think about God. That's what we're going to talk about a little more next week. Now, I want to be very clear here that this teaching is not about fixing problems. It's about seeing new and greater possibilities that already exist and putting those in place. You see, this power has too much sense to try and fix things that are broken. That's the nice thing about being a perfect intelligence. You're smart enough not to waste your time on stupid things, you know. God never wastes time. It doesn't. It simply goes about doing what it does, which is creating all things new. For example, if we find ourselves in a relationship where we are arguing and fighting all the time, or even worse, a relationship where we aren't interacting at all, where we're misconnecting, the only way that that relationship can ever be healed is by a complete change in consciousness by both parties, until they can embody a clear belief in the possibility of a loving relationship that supports them both, one that allows them both the freedom to grow and meets their desire to express love in a positive and joyful way. Now, if both parties are willing to do that much, the relationship will have to become better. It just might not be with each other. It might not be with each other. But even if it isn't with each other, if it is or it isn't, a healing has still taken place, because the separation, if there is one, can still reflect love and respect, because that may be the best way this intelligence knows how to create it. Remember, it's not our job to define the best solution. We just need to be open to a better solution, whatever it looks like. The truth is, the healing of any part of our life, always begins as soon as we become aware at the deepest level of our being that behind the difficulty we see, behind the anger, behind the fear, behind the doubt, the pain, the suffering, the appearance, all these things that we are allowing to get in our way, however bad the situation appears, behind what we see, there is always a perfect intelligence, a perfect creative power, and absolute unconditional love ready to heal whatever false or unhealthy ideas we have been holding on to. Now, the great metaphysical healer Emma Curtis Hopkins, she was in the late 1800s, early 1900s, marvelous woman, very powerful healer, and someone asked her how she was so able to heal people with her metaphysical university she had in Chicago, And those of you who are in class will have heard this before. She said to them, "I never see a sick person coming to be healed. I only see a perfect spirit coming to be recognized." That's why she was successful. Now, once we realize this same truth about our own life situation, whatever it happens to be, we can then start to see the spiritual solution that exists behind whatever appears to be the problem. If we start to say, "I never see a problem coming to be fixed, I only see a solution coming to be recognized," we can see the light behind the shadow. We can learn to see the truth behind the lie. We can stop being afraid of what we can't do or worried about what we might have to do, because we will know what God can do. We just have to have enough wisdom and faith in this power to allow it to work, because we know what it does, which is to make all things new. Now, Khalil Gibran, the Lebanese Christian poet and mystic, once said, "God made truth with many doors to welcome every believer who knocks on them." Many doors for every believer who knocks on them. Now, that does not mean that our belief in God, once we knock on this door, is going to convince God to give us good ideas. That's backwards. What it really means is that our belief in the power of ideas, our belief in the ever-present wisdom of life, that belief will allow this intelligence to do whatever it does to create something new and better in our life, replacing whatever was there before. In other words, it's our belief in the power of the healing, not just physical healing, but any kind of healing, that creates a consciousness through which this power can and will replace any false, non-constructive, not life-enhancing idea, or solve any problem in our experience by showing us a better solution in our life. And if we allow it to do so, that's what it'll do for us. So this is where we are after 3 weeks. We've laid this groundwork. We now have this awareness of a power that completely supports our growth. It's always for us and always against us. Always. Doesn't punish, doesn't judge. It supports us completely. We also have an understanding of ourselves as an important, essential part of the creative process, able to choose the life that we want to live. And now we see ourselves alive as spiritual beings in a spiritual world that works through natural, understandable, knowable laws that are available to all of us. So as we have these three ideas, that's a good foundation for what we're going to do next week, which is to talk about how to bring all these things together. How can we consciously and deliberately create the kind of a life we desire? So I invite you to be here when we talk about that next week, about how to use it. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. Let's relax for a moment, take these ideas, take a breath or two. Take the ideas that resonated with you. I give them to you freely. Set aside the others for later. And let us recognize that we truly are spiritual beings in a spiritual universe being expressed as the physical world. And as we recognize that, we recognize that the invisible becomes visible through normal and natural laws. And not only are we able to understand those laws, we are also a part of those laws. We have been created through these same laws, and we use these laws to create. So we are both creation and creator at the same time. So as we recognize these simple ideas, we begin to see that we are capable of living a life that is greater than we have ever known. We are able to create a life that allows us to connect with other people, not by changing them, but by recognizing the spirit in them, by using the spiritual awareness in us. We are able to deepen our relationships with our friends, our family, our loved ones. We are able to create a life of great freedom, where we have the prosperity that we desire, because the prosperity comes from ideas, and we are all part of the flow of ideas of the universe into the world. Every single one of us has thousands of ideas any given day, and as we pick and choose, use those that are supportive, and follow them with all that we have been given, those ideas become our new reality. We're capable of creating perfect health with this marvelous body we have been given. We are able to live vibrantly with a strong and healthy physical body that heals itself, because those are also laws that we are beginning to understand. And we are able to create. We are able to bring our creative power into whatever work we choose, to be able to do it in our play, to be able to create in such a way that we know we are using the laws of the universe to expand the universe itself. These are all divine ideas that are true for us all the time. So I invite you now, in the silence of your own heart and mind, to take a few moments. And in this silence, I invite you to see yourself as this beautiful spiritual being surrounded by a beautiful spiritual light of knowledge and awareness, which is expanding itself into the world. Take these few moments for yourself in silence. With gratitude for this awareness and a clear understanding of its sacred significance in our life, we accept this truth as our own. We accept the greater possibilities that exist in our life. We accept the healing that already exists for whatever needs to be healed. We give love and kindness everywhere we go. We are open to the intelligence and wisdom of spirit flowing through us in everything we do. This is our truth. Knowing this, we release this idea into the law, knowing that our word has gone forth and is even now changing our life in greater and greater ways. This is the gift we have been given. We honor it and we release it. And so it is.